when we look at news, and who watches news and reads news on their phone? You know, I really like the Drudge Report on my phone, and I have the news that pops up all the time. And so I end up reading a lot of news, and when I read news, most of the news is about, like, murders. And in Georgia, we'll, you know, hear about someone who was just found in a river, and they just, you know, got him out, and they're trying to identify the body. Or, you know, there'd be a notification about the latest, you know, death counts from COVID, you know, in our neighborhood or around the world. So when I see the news, things come across. And again, for this past year, it's probably, for a lot of us, we may have noticed, like, a lot of news has been pretty bad in that we see. It's not really too much uplifting. We've had, you know, recently climate change problems there's flooding in Europe, record temperatures in Canada, you know, in the 120s and stuff. So we have these things that we see that, again, appear to be negative. And because of, like, certain apps that I have and news that I subscribe to, if there's a robbery in my neighborhood or a robbery down the street, I'll hear about it. And I'll know that someone, you know, got robbed and learn about that. And again, with news, there comes politics. And most, if you read political news, it's all going to be bad news, usually. Right? And no matter, you know, because it's usually whoever's in power, the other side makes it all bad news about who's in power. No matter, you know, what good is going on. So politics is always bad. And again, disasters, or we hear of hurricanes, or criticisms. People criticize things. Even if it comes to, like, movies and stuff, there's people, like, you know, there's a movie you may like, but somebody's going to write a really bad review about it. They just don't like it. And so it's very negative. And so we have so many news sources that we get. Maybe Facebook, we have a news feed, and a lot of times we may see things that are personal news, right, and things that we relate to, like a friend who's sick or someone who's in the hospital, and then, you know, we'll pray for them. And so we hear news in our families, and you know, sometimes it's good, but a lot of times when it's shared, we usually hear a lot of the bad news. Last year, in March 29th of last year, and this is right back when all the pandemic things was going on and people were locking down. The filmmaker and actor John Krasinski, and some of you may know him from The Office and other Amazon shows and different things. John Krasinski, he began a YouTube show from his home because everybody was doing things from his home, and he had it was called Some Good News, and it wasn't very much production value. He had a cardboard or a little poster board where he wrote Some Good News and marker, and is right behind him. And the entire concept of the show was devoted to entirely good news, because I guess everybody at that point was hearing nothing but bad news. And so he's like, I'm going to do a YouTube show, and we're only going to talk about good news. And he would talk about different good things that were happening around the world at that time. And it instantly became a success. I mean, millions of people subscribed, millions of people watched this. And again, once he was able to get back to normal work, he was able to sell this brand to CBS or somewhere, and, you know, make a profit of it, and just because he was just sharing good news. As Christians, we are called not to be bearers of bad news, even though sometimes we may be, but we are to be the ones who bring good news to people. Again, with so much bad news that we encounter, whether it's on television or social media, or, you know, in many, many places, the pulpits, you know, on Sundays, people preaching these things, they preach a lot of bad news. A lot of bad news is given. But we have the opportunity in the Church of God, Church of God International, to be the church of good news. We're a church of good news. Isaiah 52, and we're going to look at verse 7 in Isaiah 52. Is how beautiful upon the mountains, right? How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news, right? It's beautiful, the one who brings good news. And in the Middle East society, the one who would be a bearer of good news, who would be this messenger sent who would bring, you know, maybe bring a king good news or bring a village good news. If somebody shows up with some good news about something, they would usually reward this person with gifts, and they would be like, all right, you brought some good news, and they would feed them, and they would take care of someone who would bring good news because they needed good news. Because at this, you know, in that time in history, it was a lot of bad news. You know, the lifespan, you know, earlier in the Bible, we had patriarchs that lived hundreds of years, but by this time, you know, lifespan was getting lower. People were living 40, 50 years. And it's been that way until recently, where now our lifespans are starting to increase. So they, you know, lifespans were low. Crime was high. They could be attacked by a bandit. I guess building codes weren't up to par and stuff. So there's a lot of bad news that they had to deal with in that society. But here in Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And here's some examples. Who proclaims peace. Who brings glad tidings of good things. Who proclaims salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. Says, your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. And here's the thing, when you think of watchmen, you know, watchmen at the gate, they're supposed to be the one to warn somebody of good, bad news, right? If you're a watcher at the gate of, if you go back to a Middle Eastern city, and it's a walled city, and we know that the people around us don't like us, or they want to take what we have because resources are so limited, the watchman's going to be up there, and when they want to come attack this city or maybe try to steal things, the watchman's gonna spread good news. He's gonna be like, they're coming, get ready, you may die. we gotta prepare because we're being raided. But here it says the watchmen shall lift up their voices and give good news. It says, break forth in joy, verse 9. Sing together, your waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and the end of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And that's good news to proclaim. The word evangelist means someone who is a messenger of good news. And that word, again, was like a person who was just an evangelist, somebody who brought good news. Would be, you know, one who would be rewarded for bringing the good news, someone that, you know, people looked forward to, someone who brought good news. And the word evangelist only appears three times in Scripture. Even though we're familiar with this word and we hear this word used a lot, it's only three times in Scripture. It's in Acts 21:8, it's used to describe Philip. He's just called Philip the evangelist. In Ephesians 4:11, Paul here, he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So just a general idea of like some of the jobs that are in the Church of God. And in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy to do the work of evangelists and gives him some things to do as a work of an evangelist. So, and the word, you know, it has the word angel in the middle, because the word angel means messenger, so it's just the messenger of good news. This is what the word means. And so when we think of evangelist, maybe we think of it in a modern context, maybe like someone like a Billy Graham. So, well, Billy Graham's an evangelist. You know, he's on television, or a Benny Hinn, right? Benny Hinn, he's up there, and he's an evangelist. He's a television evangelist. And So that's the word we have, and a lot of times with a lot of people, that word's negative because they don't really trust evangelists or people who say they are evangelists on television. In the Church of God, I guess because of the history of the Church of God, many think of an evangelist as like maybe a position in the church. We don't believe that in CGI, right? We just believe, like the Bible says, it's just a job that various people can do. But at one time, right, people thought that this was like a position that you could work and you could be an evangelist, and this was like kind of a hierarchy position. Or, and in some places, in some churches, you know, this evangelist may be running the church. But from a biblical perspective, evangelist is one who brings a message of good news. And it's an interesting thing to note, and I want to ask a question. If someone, like say someone in the church, like myself, if I were to just get up here and talk about the bad news in the world, right, well, we're going to talk about the bad news, I can give you bad news all day long because it's not hard to come by. You know, we see it all the time. We're all familiar with it. If I were to talk about bad news and all these things that are happening, talk about hellfire and damnation. I remember attending Pentecostal church, and like it seemed like every sermon was like hellfire and damnation. I just felt like I'm gonna burn, you know, after every sermon. If someone is teaching that, are they, by the biblical definition, acting as an evangelist? Right? Are they? If you're just talking about the bad things in the world, is that a bearer of good news? Now, perhaps they may be a teacher. You know, they're teaching about bad things. And then, again, that's a function in the church. But if you're not spreading good news, it is not evangelism. So, again, and if you mix evangelism and mix hope, there's evangelism. Let's look at the first evangelist, that we read about after the resurrection of Christ. And the first evangelist we read in Scripture was a woman. First evangelist we read was a woman. And this is in several of the gospel accounts, but we'll just look at a verse in John 20. And so in John 20, Mary Magdalene, after Christ had appeared to her and you know, assured her that he was alive, he's like go tell the disciples that I live. You know what? And that's really good news because they were distraught. They were like, we were part of this plan. We're part of this plan with the Messiah. We're gonna change the world, right? That's the thing. We're gonna change the world. There's gonna be this revolution, and the Messiah is gonna come. And we know all the prophecy of the Messiah, and this is gonna come. And now he's dead. And so Mary, she gets to give them the good news. And so Mary Magdalene, verse 18 of John 20, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And that she had spoken these things to her. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are known as evangelists, right? So again, we only see the word a few times in Scripture, but when people refer to them, and you know, historically, and we look at it, that these were the evangelists, and these are gospels, you know, the good news of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And again, for very good reason. There's a good reason why people took this term and applied it to these men. Because Mark 1:1, if we look in Mark 1, it begins, you know, in this book it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And again, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And again, the life, the teachings of Christ, you know, you can look at the Sermon on the Mount, you can look at the parables that Christ gave, and everything he gave was good news. It was good news. It was looking forward to this kingdom that he was going to bring in, and that he is going to bring in, that is coming. And all of that is definitely good news. Even stuff that doesn't appear to be good news. Like, for example, in Matthew 24, in Christ is answering some questions that his followers had for him about the signs of the end of the age. And so, I remember, for me, through my Christian life, and I remember as young and maybe hearing people talk about this, to me, a lot of this didn't sound like good news. It sounded like this is some bad stuff that's coming. But it is good news. Matthew 24 says, for nation will rise against nation, is verse 7. Kingdom against kingdom. You know, Christ is saying this, that there'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Now, so I want you to think about this and ask this question. Now, when he says nation will rise against nation, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, do you think that they were familiar with these things? Do you think that there was wars that were going on that they knew about? Do you think that they experienced famines? Right? They experienced more famines then than we do now. So they knew that, yeah, we know about famines. We know about pestilence. And again, there's fault lines throughout the world, so they knew about earthquakes. But he says these things, right, are just the beginning of sorrows. In verse 9, again, he gives warning, and again, it sounds like bad news. It says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So again, that sounds like a lot of bad news. And historically, when I've read this, when I've looked at this throughout my life, being from a child, I've always thought, this just sounds awful, that all these things, bad things are going to happen. But then, you know, then we have some good news. And he says in verse 14, and says, this gospel, right, this good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So he tells, you know, in general, some things that will happen, and they're not very specific, right? These are things that we've seen happening. I could point out today examples of these things. I'm sure the people he spoke to, they could point out examples in their lifetime of these things. Revelation 14. In Revelation 14, in verse 6, and this is one of three angels that were to give a message. And this is, in vision, John sees in vision, sees a vision of the future, sees something before the end of days. In Revelation 14, that's one angel. It says, I saw another angel, right, a messenger, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, right? The everlasting good news. This is something that's always good news. To preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice. So I think there's a connection, right? There's a connection where Christ says the gospel of the kingdom is going to go out to all the world, and the end will come. And then we have this angel who's doing that very thing. Right, this, in Revelation 14, and what is this message that he's bringing, right, to all nations, tribes, tongues, and people? And then it's good news. It says, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and earth, the spring and the sea and springs of water." Right. So this is the news. Is like, fear God. He's going to come with His judgment. But fear Him and worship Him, because for you, this is going to be good. This is not bad news. This is good news, the return of Christ at this end. Again, Revelation, I would say, has a lot of scary things for people in Revelation. You know, it's scary. And when I think scary, I'm thinking back to, like, when I first read it as a kid, I'd read Revelation, and I'd be like, I don't know what this is. This sounds really scary. These things that are here. You know, you have bowls of God's wrath. There's sores. Waters turn to blood. You have the trumpet plagues. But again, Revelation, even though it has these bad things, this bad news, it's full of good news. Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to enter the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. So we have a lot of bad news that precedes the good news. I mean, it's great news that God is creating a family and a kingdom, and He wants us to be a part of it. So why do we share this? Why are we talking about good news? Because we all need to be evangelists in the sense that those who bring good news, right? Those who bring good news. That's it. I mean, it's not a position. It's not a title. It's just that it's something we can do, right? We can bring good news to people who need it. And, you know, after, if you look at your notifications on your phone or read the news, guess what? The world needs good news now more than ever. I mean, there's no reason for us to give them bad news, more bad news, as part of what we're doing. You know, I can give you more bad news and tell you the bad news, but what if we give them some good news? Luke chapter 4, verse 6. In Luke 4, verse 6, it says, so he came to Nazareth, Christ, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So he's going to read from Isaiah. We read from Isaiah earlier. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, right, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So all those things, right, preaching the good news to the poor, healing the brokenhearted. I mean, we deal with brokenhearted. If we're on social media and we see bad news from family, we have to deal with folks who are brokenhearted. And it happens all the time. Christ was sent to the brokenhearted. His message of good news is for the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he says, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So when we see Jesus, right, our example, the one we should, right, do we agree that we need to pattern our life after Christ? That we are, you know, that we're Christians. Christ, if we're baptized, Christ should be in us. The Holy Spirit's in us. And we should have that Spirit of Christ in us to do the work that he did. Because he had a message of good news, of healing, redemption, repentance, and a life devoted to God and his ways. A message of a wonderful, wonderful kingdom. You know, we all have a certain amount of, I guess, like emotional energy that can be drained quickly, right? So when we hear, when something is bad news, or, you know, even our lives, because again, we will have things that happen, and I've had things that happen that are bad news, and it's things we have to deal with. Things in our life that, you know, whether disease, death, problems. And a lot of times we let things that we hear online or stuff that's not even real, like, take away that energy from us. Take away, drain us of things, that fake bad news, I would say, that is out there. But if we focus on good news, on the truth, I think in the Church of God, and who we're here in the Church of God International, we can set ourselves apart. Wouldn't you like to be known as the Church of Good News? Like, oh, that's them folks, they just talk about good news. What's up with those folks? Wouldn't you like to be known as a church that, yeah, they just get in there and they're all talking about all this good news. This good news about Christ and good news in their life. We could really set ourselves apart if we would be the Church of Good News. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read from the easy-to-read version. I'm not reading from this because it's hard for me to read this. It's just the easy-to-read version kind of makes it very simple to understand maybe what was behind Paul was writing here. So 1 Corinthians 15 from the easy-to-read version in verse 1. It says, now, brothers and sisters, I want you to remember the good news that I told you. Right? He wanted the Corinthian church to remember this good news. And that's what I'm saying. I want us to remember the good news. Right? Remember the first time we heard the good news. Remember that. Think about it when you heard this good news. He says, you received that good news message, right? We received that good news message. And you continue to base your life on it, right? What do we base our life on? The good news. That good news, verse 2, the message you heard from me is God's way to save you, right? God saves us through this good news. But you must continue believing it. And that's the problem, is that when we live in a society of bad news and negativity, and people are always all this negativity, is that can take away from what God wants us to be as messengers of good news. Verse 3, he says, I gave you the message that I received. I told you the most important truths. This is one of the important things, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say. Right? So many people are a prisoner to sins. That's bad news. But Jesus can set you free from your sins. The things that cause problems in your life. The things that make you depressed at night. That can mess up your world. Christ can take that away from you. And he will. That's what he came. That's the good news. It's that he can set us free. He says, verse 4, that Christ was buried, was raised to life on the third day, as the scriptures say. That's wonderful news. That's news that people need to know, is that Jesus Christ, that people want to debate if he's real or not, just say, no, we know that Jesus, not only did he die, people hear about his death, not too many people understand that he was resurrected. And a lot of times they refer to Christ in the past tense and what Christ did and he lived. No, Christ lives. Christ lives. That is good news. He is alive today as much as he was alive 2,000 years ago. And he says, and he appeared to Peter and then to the 12 apostles. And then Paul says, after that, Christ appeared to more than 500 other believers at the same time. Most of them are still living today, but some have died. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul says, he appeared to me. He says, I was different, like a baby born before normal time. In verse 9, and all the other apostles are greater than I am. And I say this because I persecuted the church of God. That is why I'm not even good enough to be called an apostle. But because of God's grace, that is what I am, and his grace that he gave me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles, but I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was with me. So then it is not important if I told you God's message or if it was other apostles who told you, right? That's important. It's not important who tells you the message. Right? The message that we all have comes from one source, and it comes from Jesus. So it's not important. I can do it. You can do it. Everyone can do this. But we got to spread the message of good news. He says, so it's not important if I told you God's message or if it was the other apostles who told you. We all tell people the same message. And this is what you believed. This is what you believed. Now, concluding, I want to look in Romans 1. Romans 1. We're going to go back to New King James. Romans chapter 1. And what it means to be a messenger of good news. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He says, called to be an apostle. Right before he says, well, you know, I'm not even worthy to be an apostle, but he was called, right? An apostle just means somebody who was sent. Christ sent him and said, You take this good news and you take it to the Gentiles. And then he wrote a whole bunch of books about it, a whole bunch of letters, and he did a good job. He says he was separated to the good news of God, right? He was separated to take that good news to them. He says, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, right? This is good news. What is the good news? Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Through him, right, this is good news, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are called of Jesus. So again, now here he talks collectively about grace and apostleship. And again, there was the apostle can mean many things. We had definitely the apostles that were 12. They were specifically called for a purpose. And Paul was an apostle sent to the Gentiles. But in this sense, the apostles can apply to everyone. He says, among you, right, verse 6, are also the called of Jesus Christ. And again, basically, we are all ambassadors of Christ. Right? That's what an apostle, that's an ambassador. Like, you know, an ambassador to another country goes to the country and sets up usually have the embassies there that are set up, and if anybody, a citizen comes, and they'll help them out if they have problems, and they're there to promote, right, in the other country, they're there to promote what's good about their country and promote their country and represent their country to this other nation. And so we, all of us, as ambassadors or are essentially on these missions, the same mission as Paul, the same as them. You know, they were the leaders. They were the ones that started it. But Christ, is Christ in us, like he was in Paul? Are we not to be ambassadors for the good news sent to the world? It says, among you who are also called to Jesus Christ, who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Right, and the word saint means to be a holy one of God. We're called to be holy ones of God. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So grace and peace. This message of good news. So let's embrace it. I say we embrace it. Out there watching, embrace it. Go tell your friends the good news. They'll think you're crazy. That's what we want. We want people to think we're crazy. That we're so happy, we're so excited about this good news about Jesus Christ who was resurrected. He can change your life through what he has. And we want to be known as a church of good news. Because it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.